A billion years ago, there was nothing but space. Then one of God's wet farts blew all the planets in place. There were no signs of life on Mars or Venus, but planet Earth was blessed with two baby geniuses. Baby geniuses, we know everything. Baby geniuses, we know everything. Baby geniuses, we know everything. Baby geniuses, tell us something we don't know.
Hello, babies. Welcome to Baby Geniuses. I'm Emily.
I'm Lisa.
And I'm going to open a seltzer.
Whoa!
Whoa! Now we're ready to record, baby.
Hell yeah.
What's going on, Lisa? I just feel like we're in the middle of a very busy season. We have so much to talk about.
So much.
I shouldn't have said that. I just hyped it up like we have so much. What if we run out?
We have a very special Christmas episode planned for you all.
No!
No, we don't.
No, it's just like we have slightly more to talk about than usual. We've been slightly busier than we usually are.
Yeah. I also got sick again. I got a cold, but it was pretty mild. But then Adam got it, and he is right now in the worst part of it, and I feel so bad.
Oh boy.
Yeah, but it's not. It's not COVID.
Making soups.
Yeah, we made some soup, and then we got some Chinese food. You know. We've just been binging White Lotus, trying to catch up on it.
Oh.
Not done yet. Yeah. Very excited to finish.
I'm excited to talk to you about it when you're done.
It's a fun one.
It's a fun one. yeah, I feel like there's a hole in my life right now where that used to be.
Aw, yeah.
But I'm filling it with Real Housewives of New York. I decided I'm tired of, like, only watching reality TV shows that no one else is watching.
Yeah, so you jumped on the big bandwagon with that one.
Yeah, it's time. Although more people are watching Sister Wives now just because of everything that's happening on it, so I do feel less alone.
Oh.
But that said, I'm trying to join the larger society, and it's so far so good.
Are you watching, like, the big, like, Oscar contender movies at all? Or are you?
Oh, we saw Banshees of Inisherin.
Oh, is that good?
I really liked it. Hmm. It's like, it's funny and sad and kind of gory. Oh, and there's a lot of, like, animals in it.
I want to see that.
There's, like, a horse and a donkey and a dog.
Yeah.
I feel like you'd be into that part of it.
I'm into that.
And it's really beautiful and it's well acted. Yeah, I would say I recommend it. It's like not, it's definitely like a little disturbing, but you know.
Yeah.
It's like a nice sort of like compact story.
Mm-hmm. That sounds good.
Yeah. Let's talk about real life horses that you saw.
That's right. I went to a rodeo.
You went to a rodeo in Vegas?
In Vegas. And it was like a very impulsive decision. I have an Instagram friend who I've been friends with on Instagram for years. Her name's Jessie. Hi, Jessie. And she said, hey, I'm going to be in LA for one day. And then I'm flying to this rodeo. And I was like, she was like, do you want to hang out in LA? Because we've never met in person before. And she was flying in from Montana. And I was like, what if I just went to the rodeo? Ha ha. And then she's like, well, we do have an extra ticket. Like, oh, shit. I have to do this because I don't have any reason not to. So I flew to Vegas and met up
with this. That's like such an intense first friend date.
I know. It's kind of because I met up with her and her like group of rancher friends. all these girls from like Wyoming and Dallas and like.
I love that.
I know. It was really fun. They were really nice. And I was really underdressed, though. They all, like, had really nice, like, rodeo outfits and, like, hats and boots and stuff. And I, like, just had my sneakers, so I really stuck out.
It's really funny that people wear that stuff when they're going to a rodeo as if, like, they're going to get called down to do something in the rodeo. Like, what?
Okay, but let's be clear. These are not riding boots and riding hats. These are
just dress
hats and dress boots. There's a distinction. There's a very wide array of Western wear and purposes for that Western wear. There's literally, like, wedding boots.
Oh, yeah.
They had this whole, like, huge convention hall filled just with, like, items you could buy. And it was called the Cowboy Christmas. And they had, like, white boots and all this kinds of crazy stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
But
did you buy anything?
No. I was kind of looking to see if there were any boots. I did find this, like, bedazzled hat that looked really good, but I didn't buy it. I am on the lookout for like a fringed leather jacket. I think that would look cool.
Oh, yeah.
So but next year, if I go again, I'm definitely going to up my fashion game and go kind of cowgirl. But it was really fun. It was really fun to like people watch. There were so many people all dressed up, and like Mike Pence was there. In the middle of the rodeo, they were like, they called him out, and he like stood up with his wife.
Oh my God.
With mother. Yeah.
What was the crowd reaction to that?
Oh, they loved it. I mean, it was a very largely conservative crowd for sure.
Yeah.
I will say people were nice. Like, I was one of the only people wearing a mask in there, and nobody was like rude about it. Everyone
That's
was
good.
Very polite. Diplo was there. Just a lot of the worst men you've ever heard of. I liked it. I liked the Broncos. That was my favorite. They're really cute. Like, they go out there and they know their job and they buck for 10 seconds. And then they like prance around, some of them. Like, they're kind of happy that they like.
They're like, I did it.
Yeah, they totally have that. Like, I did it. Yay. Now I get to go back in the chute kind of thing. Like, it's really cute. And like, one of them was in their 20s. Like, they were old, but they seemed really well cared for. And I don't know. I think it was interesting.
Had you been to many rodeos before?
I hadn't been since I was a kid. I went to one in the Bay Area at the Cow Palace when I was a kiddo and liked it.
Wow.
I remembered it being...
Is that why it's called the Cow Palace?
Maybe. I think it was originally more of a...
of a traditional cow palace?
Perhaps. I don't know that for sure, but I can't think of any other reason why you'd call a place a cow palace.
Yeah. I just assumed it was like named after someone with the name Cow, but that's not a name I've ever heard anyone have.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not going to look it up right now. I'm just going to assume that's why.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. And I'm still going to picture it as a castle.
This all happened in the Vegas Convention Center. Just fun. I've been there for other conventions, but this time they literally just like filled it with dirt, and like it was super packed in there. It was awesome. Barrel racers were really great. It's just like, oh, man. Oh my God. People so talented.
I just looked up the Cow Palace name, and I think I want to share it with everybody.
Okay.
According to Wikipedia, behind the name, the idea for the arena was inspired by the popularity of the livestock pavilion at the 1915 Panama Pacific International Expo.
Wow.
A local newspaper asked as early as May 1935, why, when people are starving, should money be spent on a palace for cows? A headline writer turned the phrase around, thus Cow Palace.
That's fantastic.
Oh, so they were named after the criticism?
Yeah.
That is a fucking power move.
That's great.
Yeah.
They were like, fuck you, this is a cow palace. And you're going to spend money to come see these cows.
That's it. I'm changing my name to fucking bitch.
Mine is, let's see, the best thing I've ever been called is a Tumblr thunder cunt.
Wow.
It was a while back when I was still on Tumblr, but yeah.
That I kind of figured that wasn't a 2022 burn, although no. It would be still good.
It's still, it's good. Still good. It's still good.
Very 2006 band name.
Yeah.
Oh my God. All right. Is that where you got sick, by the way, at the rodeo, do you think?
I don't think so. I might have. I don't know where I got sick. I did join a group of Christmas carolers, and so there was a lot of like singing. Not, it was mostly outside, but it might have been that. Which, by the way, was so fun. Like,
yeah. Oh my God, you posted some videos. Your harmonies were great.
Thank you. My friend Ariana.
Did you practice?
Yes. My friend Ariana, she made this group. She wanted to do this. And so she like hosted like practice sessions over the course of a month. And she did it. She was so organized. Like, she recorded each of our parts and like uploaded them to a Dropbox so that we could listen to them along with the music so that we could like figure out our parts. And then we practiced. And then, like, we all got together, and it was mostly people I didn't know, I'd never met before. And it felt like there was this kind of unspoken thing of, like, not talking about what we do in our day jobs or whatever. We were just all there to sing.
Just there to sing.
Yeah. And then we just went, like, door to door, around the neighborhood and like just start singing until people would come out. And if they came out, we would sing more. And like,
did people like it?
They loved it. I was worried people would be kind of pissed off, but no, people literally were crying. Like people were really, really moved by it. And they were so surprised and just like really disarmed. The only some people were scared. And that was like when we came up upon like pedestrians and started singing, they would kind of like run away. but it was, yeah, it was really, really sweet. Yeah, I would like to do it again.
That sounds really fun.
It was nice. It kind of made the neighborhood feel smaller and I don't know, made us feel united.
Yeah.
But I think being out in the cold for 6 hours singing three hours, two nights in a row might have given me the cold.
Yeah, that might not help.
Might not help.
I probably told this story on the podcast before, but like there was one year when we were at my parents' house for Christmas, and they live like a couple blocks away from the like the candy cane lane or the Christmas tree lane in their town. So it's like that street where everyone goes all out with the Christmas decorations. And so we were like walking to go see it after dinner, and we were all like a little buzzed, and we just started like spontaneously just sort of like singing as we walked. Not intending to carol at all, just sort of singing. And then, like, these people came out on their porch, and we were like, And so we, like, stopped and just sort of, like, we didn't have music. We hadn't practiced. We just, like, jingle bell time is a swell time. Da-da-da-da-da. And when we finished this song, the guy was like, I'd offer you a drink, but I think you've had enough.
I was truly horrified the first time people actually came out of their house to watch us. It was like really terrifying. The best was when people came out on a balcony, because then there was a distance between us and it didn't feel so like intense, and
you can't really see their faces that well.
Yeah, it wasn't quite so intimate. Like it's yeah, it was pretty, there's definitely like an awkwardness to it that I really loved.
Yeah. I like that.
Oh man. It feels good to like, it also is very fun to just walk around with a group of people at night in LA, because that happens so rarely.
Yeah.
People are just in their cars. Yeah.
It's also just fun to sing.
I love singing. Singing's so fun.
Yeah.
I have to work on my stamina, though. It's like very hard to sing for that long. My voice started cracking and stuff.
Oh, yeah. You need to like drink a lot of water and stuff.
Yeah. I don't know.
Which is my nightmare.
I never want to do that, clearly. Yeah. I don't know any of the pro tips for being able to sing longer.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's basically it. And you have to like rest your voice and I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess stamina too.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever do choir?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Big time choir.
I was like, cause yeah, I didn't have the like focus to like get really good at it, like an instrument, you know,
but
singing I could just do, you know? And yeah, I was in like choir, like chorus throughout middle school. And then in high school, I auditioned for like the chorus at my school because I wanted to go on the trip to Disneyland. and then I quit after we did the Disneyland trip.
That's probably a huge problem that they have.
Yeah. But I liked it. I probably shouldn't have quit. I like singing.
Yeah, I'd missed it.
And I have like a playlist that I listen to sometimes now that's all songs where I can like harmonize with them.
Yeah.
And I like doing that.
Yeah, I have a playlist.
So I'm like, I should probably find a space in my life for that at some point.
It's really good for you. It actually, it's supposed to stimulate your vagus nerve, which is supposed to be good for you for reasons I forget. Not Vegas, like Las Vegas.
Yeah, I was going to say. Lisa's obsessed with Vegas now.
I stimulated my vagus nerve by flying to Vegas.
Yeah, and going to a rodeo with Mike Pence.
Hey, whatever does it for you. Oh man, yeah, I have a playlist of songs that I can actually hit the range of, because my range is very low and limited. I'm an alto.
Me too.
Mm-hmm.
Makes it tricky to do karaoke.
It does. There's only certain songs I can really,
yeah, like Fiona Apple great.
Amy Winehouse, yeah,
yeah,
great.
Almost anything else? No.
No. Mm-hmm.
Almost anything else, I'm switching between octaves as I go.
I'm getting real embarrassed in the middle of it. Yeah.
I went to Jeopardy.
In person.
In person. Ah! We went to a taping. So
I'm so jealous. Just, I want
to
go.
To recap, I sent
you went Ken to Jennings. A rodeo of sorts.
I went to the nerd rodeo. when the college tournament was on, I would say to Peter, "You want to watch Dorkapalooza?" So I like had messaged Ken Jennings because I had accidentally received a spoiler on YouTube about who was going to win in the game the day after. Oh. And I was like, I will keep my silence for the price of a Jeopardy hat.
Oh my God, that's so flirty, sliding into his DMs to blackmail.
But he was like, come to a taping. I'm sure we have a closet full of merch. I did not get merch. I'm just going to say that now.
What the
we
fuck?
We did not figure that out.
God damn it.
We probably should have arrived earlier and just like gone to the Sony store, but we didn't. We got there just on time for going to the taping. It was so fun. We got to go in early and like look at all of the like memorabilia and stuff, like the like Alex Trebek, like, you know, hockey jersey and like his old podium and stuff. And we got to like, you know, look at the set and stuff, and we got to sit in the front row during the games. Here's something I thought was interesting. So they film 5 episodes in one day.
Wow.
Or at least they did the day that we were there. We only went to get 2. So we were like, end of the day. We went to the last 2 episodes. And because, like, they don't know if, like, a champion's going to keep winning or if they're going to need to bring new people in, the people who are there with their loved ones, they don't know when their family member is going to be on.
Wow.
Because they're so, like, they can't possibly know if they need 2 new players or, you know,
yeah.
1 new player. You know, like, it's a little, like, tricky. And so I think because we were there at the end of the day, like, the crowd wasn't as full because people had left either because their family had been on and eliminated
yeah.
or because they realized that they weren't going to be on.
So you don't watch multiple ones in a row? Like, they kind of shuffle you in one?
You can. Like, we watched 2 in a row, and I think a bunch of the other people there did, but I think other people just decided to leave because they didn't want to.
That's nice that you can leave when you want.
Yeah.
They don't make you
have to leave between games and stuff, but yeah, they didn't. I mean, I'm not sure if that's why it wasn't totally full, but we were sitting in the front, and someone came and sat next to us whose sibling was on,
uh-huh.
and I'm... This episode will not air until February, so I'm not going to give away any identifying details. But their sibling was on, and they were like, the person who was sitting next to me was like, I want to say early 20s or something, like very, very young, very nervous,
mm-hmm.
very like, they were just like vibrating, like they weren't sitting with they had other family there, but they were like, I want to sit up front and I have to be like so focused on like sending my positive energy through my eyeballs is my guess of why they like came Aww. To the front row. They were like so nervous to the point where I was like, do you need to squeeze my hand? And they were like, it's okay. I have my rubber bands. They were like, Just the whole game, they were just like emoting so much. Like anytime a category came up, they were like, oh, good, okay. You know, like if they thought it was something that their sibling like knew about and like at
Was their sibling much older than they were or?
Maybe like 5 years.
Mm-hmm. They're close.
Young, not like, yeah. And at one point there was like a category where it was like about like fast food menu items and like so they would like say the like fast food item and then you would have to buzz in and say which like restaurant it was from
uh-huh.
and there was one that no one buzzed in for and it was like, you know, I'm not gonna say the chain, but the person next to me was like, I work there, I'm gonna kill them.
Oh my God.
It was really fun and really exciting, and their sibling won.
Oh, yeah.
Both of the games that we watched.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
So that was really,
That's
really
great.
Exciting.
Were they so excited?
They were, well, okay, after the first game, they sobbed. It was so cute. It was like, it was just like made the experience so much better.
Yeah.
But I was also impressed with, like, I mean, the tapings, they don't edit any, like, very much out. Like, it is basically a, you know, half-hour taping with, like, the breaks and the pickups and, like, but it's, like, the game moves really fast. There's not dead air that they're editing out or anything like that. It just, like, it just goes. The stage is smaller than I thought it would be. There's also, like, right in front of the stage, there's, like, a row of chairs for, like, the writers. And they just have, like, big, just like dictionaries and thesauruses and just like reference books on the table so they can like look stuff up while the game's going.
That's amazing.
Like the only time that we had to like stop and wait was when they had to be like, oh, is that answer okay? And they would like call that. They also have like a research library nearby that they would call. Yeah, it was really exciting. And Ken was so nice and he's so good at the job.
I love him.
Yeah, he's great. He like let us take pictures on the stage and then like outside, and it was just delightful. And he said, we're welcome back anytime, and I don't want to exhaust that option, but I'm like, I would go back.
I would go with you. That would be really, really fun. I would love to go. Well, I always get nervous about going to tapings because I worry I'll be trapped and I'll be yelled at, you know, because sometimes they're like kind of, they treat you like cattle. They treat you like you're at a cow palace. This sounds more chill, maybe. And, like, they're not super long.
Much more chill.
It's not, like, you know, 4 hours of being stuck in your chair while they retape stuff.
It's like half an hour and then you get a break.
That sounds fantastic.
They let us all get up and go to the bathroom in between the games.
Oh, that's so humane.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like they have to take a break, too, because, like, the contestants have to change their clothes to pretend it's a new day.
Yeah.
The only thing that sucks is like not being able to talk about what we saw.
Yeah, I know.
Until it airs.
I didn't realize that they taped so far in advance.
Yeah, they tape like 2 months in advance.
I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. But like I figured out from the anecdotes that I like have I know someone in common with one of the contestants and I can't talk to them about it. Anyway.
Soon.
So I'm like, I can't wait.
Listening to you describe how nervous and excited the sibling was reminded me of the World Cup last game. Did you see it?
I did not, but I take it you were happy with the results.
My God, what an exciting game. I was like in the middle. I was like, I can't ever care about sports again. This is too upsetting. Like it made me feel sick to my stomach. Because they were like Argentina versus France. They were up in the first half. And I was like, they're going to run out of energy. Like France is going to come on strong in the second half. And they did. And then they were down and then they were tied. And then it was like, and it was crazy. And then it went into penalty kicks. And it was just like, and it was like two of the best players in the world, Messi versus Mbappe. And Messi's this is his last World Cup.
This is his last World Cup because he's been in the game for forever.
Yeah, and Mbappe's like the young one who's so fucking powerful. Like his kicks are just like pow. I actually saw them both play when we were in Paris. We went to a game and they were both playing, and it was awesome. But it was a really weird game because everyone was picketing. Like they were
on strike.
Yes, they were protesting the game, so none of the fans were like excited or singing or cheering or anything. So it was a very quiet and very weird atmosphere.
Oh, weird.
So it was kind of like not fun, but it was cool to see them play in person.
Yeah,
I got a lot more into.
And you root for Argentina because your family is from there.
Yes.
Right?
So my cousins were losing their minds.
Oh my gosh!
And like, so Argentina won, just like at the last second. It was amazing. And then like. Everyone in Buenos Aires was partying like all day, just like out in the streets, like climbing up like traffic lights, like just insane. And I wish I could have been there because it seemed really, really fun. But yeah, my family was really happy. And
that's great.
It was just like such a good story. Like I totally got it. I was like, oh, everything is contained in like the whole ups and downs and everything is like the perfect story. Like I get it. I get sports now. Yeah. I understand. And I think soccer's like a great sport and it's fun to watch. And it's nice and quick.
I need to try and understand more.
I'm
literally writing a script about sports right now and I'm like, I gotta figure it out.
Which sport are you writing about?
Well, I'm writing a script with Megan Gailey about like sports broadcasting. Mm. And so it's like about everything.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's very fun. It's funny. I never liked baseball. Still don't like it. but soccer is nice because it's so fast. Like you're just kind of, it's just these two short halves and then you're out basically, unless it goes into, you know, the overtime.
Yeah, it's like both baseball and soccer are like low scoring sports, but at least with soccer, they're like running the whole time.
They're running so much. Like we looked it up and they run like the equivalent of like 7 miles in a game or something like that. Like they just, or maybe even more, they run the whole time. It's like the field's too big.
What did you think about Salt Bae being there?
I didn't know he was there until now. I didn't realize he was there.
Oh my gosh, you've got to look up. There's all these videos of like somehow after the game, Salt Bae got down on the field with the players.
Ew.
And he kept trying to get Messi to talk to him.
Oh my
God. It was so funny.
Ew.
And he was just like grabbing Messi's arm being like, hey man, it's me, Salt Bae. I don't know if that's what he was saying, but like.
Maybe he's ingesting too much salt because he's really thirsty. There were so many awful people there. I think Elon Musk was there. You know, it's just like.
Oh, yeah. Elon Musk was there with Salt Bae.
What's worse, Elon Musk being at the World Cup or Pence being at the rodeo? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. It's funny that Elon Musk keeps getting booed everywhere he goes, though, because I feel like Mike Pence, I kind of get it. You go to a rodeo, it's the one place people will cheer for you if you're Mike Pence. And Elon Musk is just like, oh, no, everyone boos you everywhere. That's tight. should we do Chunch Chat?
Yes.
We'll be right back with Chunch Chat, our regular segment where we talk about any news in the world of Martha Stewart's pony band Chunch.
Chunch. When the clock strikes noon, we could have a picnic lunch, fine wine, full moon, and we're chatting about Chunch.
Ben Chunch.
No new Ben Chunch news. It's been a dry spell, just fine, because we had a big one a while back. I don't remember what it was exactly, but I remember it was big. It was a palpable Chunch. I have been updating about Gemma Owen lately, because she's another, like, up-and-coming rich lady. Rich horse lady. And yes. I just wanted to update from last time when she said she was trying a Caesar salad for the first time and that she had never tried a hot chocolate. She posted a picture of herself with a hot chocolate and she on Instagram, and she posted, tried it, didn't like it. Hot chocolate.
She didn't like hot chocolate?
Didn't like it. And it looks like the most delicious
outrageous
hot chocolate. It looks incredible. It matches her outfit. It's got this like, it's got little chocolate on top and like foam. It looks so good. She's crazy.
Oh my gosh. That's she's wrong.
Didn't
she's
like
just
it.
Very wrong.
She's wrong, to be fair. I love how they say to be fair all the time.
I will say I just got to season 2 of Real Housewives of New York and they added a new housewife who's a horse lady.
Oh, so shit. This is my in to reality shows. This is how to get me.
Yeah.
I also wanted to touch on Martha. I'm kind of dipping back in slowly.
We all want to touch on Martha.
She posted in her Instagram stories 2 Christmas trees. I think they're hers. And she's like, they're awful. They're just awful. The first one, she said, one of the most beautiful trees ever. The penguin family took refuge under the icicle-laden branches. And it's just a Christmas tree that looks like it's entirely made out of plastic. I don't know if there's an actual tree in there. And it's just silver with silver ornaments and then huge silver penguins underneath. And there's like 10 penguins lined up under. I'm like, what are these?
What kind of scene are you constructing here? This makes no sense to me.
It looks cold and sad. It doesn't look warm and friendly. And then she posted, much to my surprise, a second tree. She wrote, I love this green tree in my green parlor. Even the owls love it. And it's a green tree, entirely green, green ornaments. And then there's a bunch of owls underneath. I'm like, now I have to believe that in every room of her house, she has a different colored tree with different birds under it.
Yeah. What?
She's presenting this as if it's normal and doesn't require further explanation. This is how far out of.
She just gets to make her own reality all the time.
Yeah. She's.
That's just.
This isn't normal.
That's not normal.
I don't appreciate her normalizing this.
Do not normalize multiple color-coded Christmas trees for different rooms of your house. Well, we're, I think, like, staying in town for Christmas now. We had to cancel our trip. And so like, do I haul my Christmas tree out of the storage cube, our, like, burnt up storage cube, or do I leave it in there? Really had having a hard time figuring it out. But
why do you have to cancel?
Just because the weather, I mean, so this is coming out on Monday. Maybe I'm going to be wrong, proven wrong by the time this came out, but there was going to be, like, giant storms on the East Coast and in the Midwest that were going to, like, cause a bunch of flight delays.
Oh,
and we were supposed to fly to Connecticut. And I was just like, I don't want to get stuck at LAX in a tridemic.
Oh, shit. Am I
like, we were already, like, freaked out about the, like, you know, the COVID risk and everything.
Diseases flying around.
Yeah. But then I was like, oh my God. But also I wouldn't, I was really freaked out about, we were going to have to drive for 2 hours when we got there. And I was like, I don't want to drive for in like the freezing rain and the dark for 2 hours.
Shit.
Yeah. So I was like, I think we're calling it.
I'm anyway. Supposed to fly to the East Coast. I didn't know there was going to be a problem.
When's your flight?
It's on Saturday.
Okay, it's supposed to be clearer on Saturday.
Oh, okay, and then we were going to fly back, like, Tuesday or something?
That's probably fine, yeah.
Okay.
yeah.
I mean, I love to cancel plans, but I'm always like, we can cancel, no problem. All right. Does that
conclude Chun Chat?
It does conclude it.
Okay, we'll be right back with one on fun. Before we get to one on fun, let's talk about this Lisa's theory of when holidays should go.
I'm moving everything up or down. How do you say that? You say moving it down. I'm making a shift. I'm moving Christmas to late January. I'm bumping it up a month, and then New Year's. When should New Year's happen? I think February. Let's move. This is maybe confusing. Maybe New Year's should still happen January 1st.
New Year's should maybe stay, or we all celebrate Chinese New Year.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I don't care about New Year's, but you know, put it where it's most convenient to your fiscal whatever. Then I think Valentine's Day should be April 1st. Combine it with Fool's Day.
Oh, yes. And that way it's like makes it easier to break up with people.
Absolutely.
And you can say, Happy Valentine's Day, April Fools, it's over.
I love you. April Fools, you're a fucking fool for thinking love you. I mean, it's horrible. Yeah. It's horrible. It'll be awful. It'll compound terrible Valentine's Day is already.
But then everyone who forgets Valentine's Day can say, April Fools, I do love you.
Yeah. It's probably a disaster.
It was a prank.
It'll be a mess. Everyone will hate it. But yeah, that's my, I think that's
because yeah, Thanksgiving and Christmas are too close together.
They're too close together. All the, my favorite holidays are too close together. It's just like
it's
overwhelming.
It's also like, even before COVID, that was a problem. But now, especially with COVID, it's like we have Thanksgiving and now we have these giant spikes in the viral, you know, cases after Thanksgiving. And it makes Christmas like impossible to do safely.
Yeah.
So it's like. We got to break this shit up.
It's a pressure cooker. We got to release it.
Yeah. I agree with this plan.
Great. So we'll do that. So look forward to that in 2023.
All right. What on fun? Okay.
Okay.
Lisa.
Yeah.
You have to punt one holiday from the calendar, like a big one.
Just
which one is it?
Kick it off.
Like, it's just gone.
We don't have it anymore.
Yeah. But everyone knows you're the one who got rid of it.
Oh, that's not good. I was going to say Easter, but people would be really mad. But
that's like, your people will treat it like a hate
crime. They're like, what? A Jewish girl kicked off Easter? Like, fuck that. Yeah, but Easter sucks, I think. I mean, I think it's fun if you're a kid, but I don't care about that anymore. I'm not a kid, so.
Yeah, it's one of those ones that, when you, like, Christmas, it's like you kind of celebrate it even if you aren't religious at all. Like, it's still, there's still a lot in it for you if you're just, like, not all about the whole Jesus story. But Easter is sort of like, what am I going to eat a chocolate egg? Fine, I can do that just any time that month.
I guess at least Easter has decorations and candy, whereas some a day like Labor Day, I don't even know what it's for. I mean, it's for to have, it's to have a little break, I guess.
Yeah, it's to celebrate the gains of the labor movement. But
I guess that's fine. But we don't even do anything fun for it.
Yeah, there's not, that's true.
There's not like a special color or decoration or candy or food for it.
Yeah, you just do barbecues.
Yeah, that's fine, I guess. I like barbecues. I like summer holiday. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to go with Easter. Sorry, I don't like the decor. I think the colors are bad.
The decor is bad. It's just eggs and bunnies. It's so weird.
The aesthetic is wretched.
Yeah, it's a wretched aesthetic. It's a very, like, mid-aughts Orange County aesthetic. Just the pastels and the, like, vector art of eggs.
Vector art. I can't. You'd think as a millennial I would like the pastels, but I don't like how they're done. Like,
yeah,
pastels are good when they're limited, not when it's every pastel altogether.
Yes,
it's like a rainbow of pastel.
Yeah, it's yucky.
It's yucky, and it can leave. And you can blame me. I don't care.
Yeah.
All right. I guess I ask you a question now. I have the most bland question.
I can't wait.
What was your best thing of the year? And what was your worst thing of the year? And it could be anything. It could be a piece of media or content or a song or an experience.
A like thing that I enjoyed or like thing that I did or.
Yeah, anything.
I was going to say, like, the best thing of the year was shooting the short that I wrote. Yeah. That was really, like, creatively fulfilling. It recharged my battery. Close second is seeing all those dolphins when we went whale watching. That was also, like, major highlight. Very cool.
Great answer.
Yeah, those were my best things of the year. And the worst thing of the year... That's a great question.
I'm hard like, to pick just one.
Very hard to pick just one. It's like very easy to pick. Roe versus Wade being overturned. That was the fucking worst.
That was so bad.
That was the worst thing. I'm still upset about it. It's just not getting better. I'm just very upset about it. It's the worst. What were yours?
I don't know yet. I'm doing that thing right now where I like comb through my diary from the last year and I go, what did I actually do this year? I'm like, oh, I did some things.
Yeah.
I'm figuring out like what were my favorite things that I was obsessed with this year. And
right.
I like to do that because otherwise the years all just kind of blend together.
Yeah. I mean, I should go through and like look at my journal and see what I remember and what I don't. Yeah. In terms of like media that I consumed, I think, like, it's like, do I even remember the worst one? I just, like, stopped watching things I didn't like.
Yeah.
There weren't any, like, I haven't watched many screeners yet or, like, any of the, like, year end. So there aren't any movies yet where I'm like, this made me so mad how bad it was.
Yeah, I need a moment to, like, to digest those. Like, we just watched Tar and I'm still thinking about it.
Oh, okay. I haven't watched it yet, but
I'm curious
Peter
to
watched
hear
it.
What you think.
Okay. I guess I have to watch it. Yeah, I imagine my worst media moment of the year will be when Peter makes me watch National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Does he make you watch it every year?
Yes.
Ew, Peter. Does he actually like it or is he just watching it out of nostalgia?
I think he can't separate it. I mean, I think he knows that it's bad, but it's like the nostalgia is so strong that it's just like he wants me to know what he's quoting.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's love right there, you tolerating that.
It really is. And like, we were going to like see if we wanted, like his brother and my sister-in-law wanted to watch it with us, but like... they watched it without us. And so now it's just going to be me and him. Where it's like, if it was all four of us, then I could at least like leave the room to go to the bathroom for a long time and say, don't pause it. But now I just have to watch the whole thing.
Yeah, I don't like those.
Yeah, they're not good. Clark Griswold is a detestable character.
Is that the one played by... Chevy Chase.
Chevy Chase, blah. Yeah.
I hate it.
Yeah, he's so bad.
I've been really wanting to rewatch Phantom Thread because I feel like it's a movie with like kind of Christmassy vibes. Am I right? Like there's a lot of velvet.
Oh yeah, they celebrate New Year's.
Yeah.
I've
been trying to convince Adam to rewatch it with me for like a year. that's my National Lampoon. It's Phantom Thread. I've only seen it once. I saw it in the theater.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I want to see
it again.
I really
liked that movie.
I really liked it. It's so weird.
All right. Does that conclude One on Fun?
Yeah.
All right. We will be right back with Wiki of the Week.
I'm Iffy Wadiway, the host of Maximum Film.
I'm Alonzo Duralde, also the host of Maximum Film.
And I'm Drea Clark, yet another host of Maximum Film. Every week, we hosts huddle up.
Usually with an illustrious guest.
And we talk about films.
We have film news.
We have film quizzes.
We answer your film questions.
It's like the maximum amount of film talk. That's why we call it
Maximum Film!
Maximum Film, the movie podcast that's not just a bunch of straight white guys. New episodes weekly on MaximumFun.org.
It could happen to you. You're all grown up now, a professional adult with diverse interests and hobbies. And one of those hobbies is video games.
You just can't help it. They're so good now.
If that's you, we're here to tell you, you are completely normal.
I'm Maddie Myers.
I'm Jason Schreier.
And I'm Kirk Hamilton, and together we form Triple Click, a podcast about video games.
If you think you might be a person who likes video games, we hope you'll give Triple Click a listen.
Triple Click, new episodes every Thursday on Maximum Fun.
Do Caesar salad.
Yes, all right. Welcome to Wiki of the Week. This week's Wikipedia page was sent to us by me.
By us.
By us. We were, you know, this is a follow-up on something we've already even talked about in this episode. Which is like, what is in a Caesar salad? Someone wrote in to be like, eggs are canon, at least in Australia. And I was like, that cannot be true.
I know, we both got so mad. We were like,
I got
no.
so mad because I was like, well, first of all, whatever happens in Australia is not canon for a Caesar salad.
Yeah.
Because a Caesar salad is not from Australia. But I was like, let's look it up and let's find out. So we're all on the edge of our seats to find out what is true canon for a Caesar salad.
And where they came from.
And where they came from. And where are they going?
What is the future of Caesar salad?
And okay, I will preface this discussion by saying, as someone who's been a vegetarian for, you know, 20 years? No, longer than that. 25 years?
And you're only 26, so that's basically your whole life.
I know. I miss Caesar salad. Like, it was one of my favorite things.
You could have a vegetarian Caesar salad.
I can, yes, and I do. But it's like, for until they had cracked, it was a while before they cracked that. and now I have it. But it was one of those foods where I was like, oh, yeah, I missed this for a while. And then, okay. Anyway.
Caesar salad.
Caesar salad.
Caesar salad, also spelled Caesar and Caesar, is a green salad of romaine lettuce and croutons dressed with lemon juice or lime juice, olive oil, egg, Worcester sauce. I know. Fuck. Already.
Fuck.
Already
fuck!
Wrong.
We're not doing this page anymore.
Canonically wrong. Emily didn't even want to do this.
I know.
If I'm wrong, I don't want to admit it. Also has anchovies, garlic, Dijon mustard, Parmesan cheese, and black pepper. In its original form, the salad was prepared and served tableside. Like they would, they would make
they
it
would
at the side of the table. Like,
yeah, like guac.
Yeah.
I like that. I like when things are made tableside.
Yeah.
It's like a little show. History. The salad's creation is generally attributed to the restaurateur Caesar Cardini, an Italian immigrant who operated restaurants in Mexico and the United States. His daughter Rosa recounted that her father invented the salad at his Prohibition-era restaurant in Tijuana, Mexico, when a 4th of July rush in 1924 depleted the kitchen's supplies. Cardini lived in San Diego, but ran the family restaurant in Tijuana to attract American customers seeking to circumvent the restrictions of the Prohibition. Oh. Cardini made do with what he had, adding the dramatic flair of the tableside tossing, quote, by the chef. A number of Cardini's staff have said that they invented the dish.
Wow.
Yeah.
Julia Child said that she had eaten a Caesar salad at Cardini's restaurant when she was a child in the 1920s. In 1946, a newspaper columnist, Dorothy Kilgallen, wrote of a Caesar containing anchovies, differing from Cardini's version. The big food rage in Hollywood, the Caesar salad will be introduced to New Yorkers by Gilmore's Steakhouse. It's an intricate concoction that takes ages to prepare. What? No, it's not. and contains zowie, lots of garlic, raw or slightly coddled eggs, croutons, romaine, anchovies, parmesan, cheese, olive oil, vinegar, and plenty of black pepper.
Okay, so when I saw the name Dorothy Kilgallen in this page, I was like, why is this name so familiar to me? And it's because literally, I'm not joking you, yesterday I was watching a suggested YouTube video of the old 1950s TV show What's My Line?
Uh-huh.
Do you know what that show is? Where it's like they have someone on and then they have like a panel of like comedians and, you know, notable people guessing why, what's notable about the person.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they do it blind if it's like a famous person who they would recognize on site. And it was an episode with Eleanor Roosevelt where they were trying to guess like, okay, are you in politics? Are you, it's, you know, and Dorothy Kilgallen was one of the panelists.
Wow.
Guessing.
What?
Yeah. And Dorothy Kilgallen's the one who figured it out. Yeah.
Wow.
So anyway, I was like, holy shit. I hovered over the name. I saw the picture and I was like, I recognize her. She's funny. Anyway.
Serendipitous.
Yes. So in the 1970s, Cardini's daughter said that the original recipe included whole lettuce leaves, which were meant to be lifted by the stem and eaten with the fingers.
What?
Coddled eggs. And garlic infused with olive oil.
What is a coddled egg?
A coddled egg, it's like
egg that has been cracked into a ramekin or other small container, placed in a water bath or bain-marie, and gently or lightly cooked just below boiling temperature. So it's kind of poached.
It's kind of poached, but it doesn't make direct contact with the water, and it's like really soft.
Okay.
And garlic infused with olive oil. Everyone makes the dressing a little differently. An anchovy paste is sometimes added with Worcestershire sauce, dry mustard, and garlic to enhance the flavor of the olive oil. Several sources have testified that the original recipe only used Worcestershire sauce without any anchovies, which Cardini considered too bold in flavor.
She's right. They are bold.
Yes.
Although the original recipe does not contain anchovies, modern recipes typically include anchovies as a key ingredient, which frequently is emulsified in bottle versions. Bottled Caesar dressings are now produced and marketed by many companies.
The trademark brands Cardini's, Caesar Cardini's, and the original Caesar dressing are all claimed to date February 1950, although they were only registered decades later. And more than a dozen varieties of bottled Cardini's dressing are available today with various ingredients.
As a salad moved north to the U.S., like just imagining a salad moving.
Yeah.
packing its bags. A key ingredient changed within the recipe. Lemon juice is commonly used, despite the original Caesar salad opting for lime.
Oh, interesting.
A little south of the border flavor.
Yeah. Common ingredients. Common ingredients in many recipes.
Romaine.
Romaine. Or
romaine. Cos lettuce. Cos lettuce. Yes. Never had that.
Olive oil.
Crushed garlic.
Salt.
Dijon mustard.
Black pepper.
Lemon juice.
Worcestershire sauce.
Anchovies.
Raw or coddled eggs.
Fine.
Fine.
Grated Parmesan cheese.
Croutons.
Variations.
And now, okay, I will say, hard-boiled eggs, not canonical. I'm going to stand by that.
They're too hard. They need to be
too hard.
Soft,
yeah.
And coddled.
And emulsified.
Variations include varying the leaf, adding meat, such as grilled chicken, that's how I like it, or bacon, or omitting ingredients, such as anchovies and eggs.
Vegan versions may substitute capers for anchovies and replace eggs with tahini.
Capers are also a bold flavor.
They are, but they do match the sort of like
profile,
very tart, savory, like, yeah. They're good in that.
Health concerns. There's an
inherent, here we go. Inherent, here we go.
Inherent risk of infection by Salmonella bacteria, occasionally found in raw egg from cracked or improperly handled eggshells where the protective cuticle is damaged. Updated recipes recommend eggs that are briefly heated to 160 degrees or pasteurized eggs. Some variations of the dressing may use other substitutions for egg.
All right.
I mean, also the romaine. Romaine always risky.
Romaine always risky, yeah. An understated risk.
Like, romaine has had many a problem over the last decade.
Yeah.
Let's just admit it.
And, yeah. So, okay, the mail we got was that...
We got, like, at least 50 emails complaining about us saying that eggs were not canonical. The fans were livid.
But that in, Alexis wrote that in Australia, the most common version is lettuce, croutons, hard boiled eggs, bacon, chicken, Parmesan cheese, and Caesar salad.
That's like a Caesar Cobb.
It's a Caesar Cobb. That's a Caesar Cobb.
It sounds great. I mean, I love it. It sounds like my ideal salad, honestly. I love a salad with chicken, bacon, and egg on it. Like, that's perfect for me.
It's just so much farm.
So much farm. So many different animals.
Yes.
So much protein. I love it. It's a problem.
Well, thank you to me for sending in that page.
I'm glad we got to the bottom of this.
I'm not.
Created by an Italian in Mexico. Truly a salad of the world.
And it really is interesting when you think about it, where it's like, we don't have enough ingredients. So it's like, oh yeah, it's like the only fresh thing in there is the lettuce. It's like if you don't have vegetables for a salad, it's like you have croutons, you have Parmesan, you have tinned fish.
Yeah.
You know, like everything else is truly just sitting there on the shelf, I guess, except for the eggs, but...
It is funny when chefs want to like mix something up in front of you table side. I think that's like a really funny phenomenon. And it reminds me of, I went to a restaurant with Adam once where they gave him like a dish that was kind of like a salad with different plops of different things. and then the waiter put on gloves like a dentist would, and then shoved his hands into the dish and mixed it up like on the table. And it was like spilling everywhere. There was like sauce and bits. Like, it was just like not like thought out very well. It was a new restaurant, so maybe they like hadn't gotten their shit together yet. But something about like putting on the gloves was so gross.
Can I ask you what the cuisine was?
I can't remember. It was an Asian cuisine.
Was it Burmese?
It might have been,
because Burmese, like, there's a few different like Burmese restaurants I've been to where they do these like either like a tea leaf salad or a rainbow salad where it's like the plate looks so gorgeous before it's mixed up.
Yes.
But it's like they want you to see it.
And then they mixed it up and it looked like barf. But like, I think.
Yes. And it's like they need you to know, like, be appetized by what this looks like now, and then we will mix it up for you. And
putting on the latex gloves was so unappetizing. It was just like, no. And it was done so messily.
No, that's gnarly.
Yeah, I think it was Burmese. Yeah, good guess.
Thank you. I was thinking that while you were telling that story. I was like, it sounds like a rainbow salad.
It was. It was.
God, I want some of that now.
It sounds good. Let's go.
It's really good. Burma Superstar in the Bay Area is really good. That's like a chain that I wish they would open down here. They would do really well.
God, that sounds so good.
All right. That concludes Wiki of the Week. It's time now for What Did I Learn?
What did I learn?
Lisa, what did you learn today?
I learned that it's fun to go see Jeopardy live. And I would love to do it someday.
Yes, that is true.
What did you learn?
I learned what a coddled egg is.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I'm kind of a coddled egg.
Yeah, me too. Were you coddled as a child?
Yes and no.
I definitely was.
Rob's nodding like, yeah, we know.
Yeah, that's evident in the behavior. Well,
I have a sleep talking story.
Oh, yes, please.
This one's real quick, and I just thought it was funny. Someone sent it in. My wife just told me that I made this report in my sleep last night. I don't believe that the turtle population is inflated, and this is consistent with the company's findings. He said that in his sleep. I can't believe it. Thank you.
That's really funny.
Thank you to Dan in Pennsylvania for that.
And I'm happy to hear about the turtle population's numbers being accurate.
I'm happy about that as well. I'm glad it's consistent with the findings.
Yeah.
God.
My goodness. Thank you. You can send sleep talking stories, Wikipedia pages, and, hate mail to babygeniusespodcast@gmail.com.
Let us know your favorite salad. We'll talk about it. Maybe.
Oh, no. We're not going to spend a lot of time listing salads. I'm just going to say that. Don't worry, you guys.
I just want to see what people send in, and if it's interesting, we'll make something out of it.
I will say, if you have a very weird salad ingredient that you like putting in salads, send that in.
Send that in. I'm open to new salad ideas and thoughts.
Yeah. You know what I've been, experimenting with that is pretty good? Corn nuts and salad.
Ooh, that sounds great.
Right? Especially, the Inca corn, that, really big corn.
Ooh, yeah. That sounds so good.
Rob is like, oh yeah.
Like a crunchy hominy.
Yeah. It's like a big sort of hard crouton kind of.
That's great. I think
but corny.
Salads need to be more fun. So you need fun ingredients in there. It can't just be all raws and plops and whatever.
You have to balance your plops with your crunch. That's a big that's part of salad chemistry 101.
Yeah.
All right. You can follow me. I'm at Mr. Emily Heller.
I'm at Lisa Draws on Instagram. And you can...
I was going to say, do we want to do an endorse horse before we go? A very late in the show endorse horse? Oh. Do you have anything?
I do. I have something.
Baby geniuses endorse, letting nature take its course. Endorphins pump from the source when they hop up on that horse. Two babies, one endorse horse.
Endorse horse.
Endorsing services and items, no remorse. Two babies, one endorse horse.
Endorse horse.
Riding off into the sunset. Now here's something we endorse.
Yes. Yes.
I have something. It's a jazz album.
Ooh.
Not to go all Damien Chazelle, white person who likes jazz. Although he makes movies about jazz that only star white people. Which sucks.
Yeah.
This is,
as long as you're not doing that, it's fine.
I'm not doing that. No, actually, I've been taking piano lessons. My piano teacher was like, oh, you should watch performances by jazz pianists so you can see what they do and try to emulate it. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And he gave me a bunch of names and they were all men. And I was like, okay, clearly there's whenever I get a list of all men, I'm like, there's something missing. It's women.
Yeah.
There's women being erased by history. So I looked up women jazz pianists and I found Mary Lou Williams, who's incredible. And she mentored a lot of famous jazz pianists. And she made this album called Zodiac Suite. And each track is a different, I'm not really into astrology at all, but each track is a different sign.
Oh, cool.
And she kind of wrote an improv kind of piece about the signs and what their vibe is. And she said, while suffering from writers, or here's the description. While suffering from writer's block in 1945, Mary Lou Williams turned to a book about astrology for inspiration. She quickly realized that the personality traits denoted by each sign of the zodiac could be a jumping off point to draw a series of character sketches in music. Each piece was inspired by a famous friend in the jazz world. For example, Aries was a sign of Ben Webster and Billie Holiday, changeable, moody, impulsive. Libras love beauty and art. Therefore, Williams wrote that one with Art Tatum in mind. And they're improvisational, they're classically inspired, but also sound contemporary. And they're just it's just a really fun album. I've been listening to it a lot.
That's great.
Yeah.
I don't know if this counts as an endorse horse, but I realized I forgot to talk about this. there was a Gavligo clue on Jeopardy this week.
Oh my gosh, that's right.
First of all, no one has burned the Gavligo yet, and that's fucked up. But also, I got to hear Ken Jennings pronounce the name of the Gavligo.
How'd he say
it? He said it like, Yovel.
What?
Let's go to Christmas traditions elsewhere for 200.
In Sweden, a Christmas straw one is traditional. Here's the 42-foot, 4-ton example in Gävle. Andrew.
What is a goat?
It is a goat.
We've been doing it wrong this whole time.
We've been doing it wrong this whole fucking time.
Because you know he looked up how the right way to say it, because he does his homework.
Yeah.
So you're endorsing how he says
I'm endorsing someone burning down the fucking goat.
I also endorse that. Can you just fucking burn it or throw it in a river, please?
I mean, this is coming out after Christmas, so hopefully by the time that this comes out, the goat has been destroyed.
It's been a long time since someone's destroyed it, right? When was the last time someone destroyed?
I think it's only been like 3 years or something.
It's too long. Sure. It's too long. What the fuck?
All right. Thank you for listening to our show. Please rate us 5 stars and follow us online. And thanks to our producer, Rob Pera.
Yay. Thanks for our music, Nate Heller.
Woo. Yay.
And goodbye.
Yay.
Yay. We know everything. Baby geniuses. We know everything. We know everything, baby geniuses. We know everything.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.